I'd like to thank Lydia for reading the psalm there. And now, lastly, we're going to ask Stephen if he will come and bring what the Lord has laid in his heart. Thankfully, that's the end of the, for me. Don't have to be up and down like a yo-yo anymore, so ask Stephen to come up.
I'd like to thank Andrew for his help this evening and for the messages of encouragement that we received today, particularly the one from my brother-in-law that just said it's a big pulpit and a big congregation. So we thank him for that. I got a message also just from the Reverend Park as he was leaving the pulpit just to say that Andrew actually does like to pray, just not in public. So that's why he was avoiding the closing of the meeting in prayer. But the lot has come to us tonight. We stand here before you in the providence of God. And we come now to his word as our sister Lydia has read for us there from the book of Psalms in the Psalm 23. And just before we come to the word, I'd ask you just to bow your heads in prayer. If you're a Christian tonight, I would covet your prayers and say, as is recorded in the book of Ephesians, that utterance might be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And if you're in the meeting tonight without Christ as your Saviour, that you would pray, Lord, speak to me. Lord, open my heart to your word. Let me hear thy voice tonight. Our gracious God and Father in heaven, we thank thee for sufficient grace. We thank thee for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the life that it can give to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. And O God, as has been prayed before the meeting tonight, that now you would take us, hide us far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. O God, come now and glorify thy name in inner midst, outpour of thy spirit upon us. Anoint us, O God, to preach the gospel, for it's in thy name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. We've read together from the book of Psalms. Psalm 23 is a wonderful testimony of David. It's indeed the testimony of every Christian. And the opening words we just read together in the verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And immediately our eyes and our thoughts and our hearts are lifted heavenward to consider him who reigns over and above us all. We're thinking tonight of the Lord. When Nigel contacted me today, he asked for a title for the message, and I sent him back the great shepherd of our soul. And that's who I want us to think upon in the closing minutes of the meeting tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of our soul. Here in the verse 1, the psalmist declares, the Lord is my shepherd. It is someone with whom he has a personal relationship. And you know, hidden throughout this psalm, there are some wonderful doctrines, some wonderful teachings that you and I as Christians tonight, that you and I as individuals tonight, as human beings tonight, need to get a hold of. There are things here in this book and in this word that is set before us that if we could just grasp, there is an anchor in a sure place during the time of storm. We have been, as a congregation, as is set before us there, we're walking in the valley of the shadow of death. We think, especially tonight, of the Ormerod family. And as we're hearing today, of the Gray family. Death casts its shadow over our path oftentimes. And as we read there in the verse 1 about the sufficiency of our shepherd, we see here, I shall not want. In the old building of our church here, I recall, as some of you will, the windows that used to go around the sides. And etched into the glass were the Old Testament names of the Lord. They were in the Hebrew. And the translation was given of one of them, certainly I recall, Jehovah said, ken you the Lord, our righteousness. And in the verse 1 of this psalm, we have another one. Jehovah Rui. You'll excuse my pronunciation tonight, but I see we have the Reverend Kearns, and he can maybe correct this afterwards if you want to have a word with him. He'll keep us right. But Jehovah Rui, the Lord my shepherd. And as a Christian tonight, that's a wonderful thought, that we're part of the flock of God. We have a shepherd, as the hymn writer put it, that loves us so well. We have a shepherd to care for us, to provide for us, to look after us. But perhaps you're in the meeting tonight and you couldn't testify to being in the flock of God. You wouldn't say tonight that you are a Christian. You wouldn't say tonight that the Lord is your shepherd. Well, then let me tell you about this shepherd. He is a shepherd that has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're not in the fold of God tonight, if you're not numbered amongst the redeemed tonight, well, then you are numbered amongst those who are lost. And you're out on the hills wild and bare without a shepherd. But I tell you tonight, on the authority of God's word, the shepherd is seeking. He is seeking those who are lost. He is seeking to find them. We're told all about it in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to Luke. In Luke chapter 15, there is there the parable of the lost silver. There's the parable of the lost son. But also, especially tonight, there's the parable of the lost sheep. And it's recorded there, what man of you, if he have 100 sheep and lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he hath found it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. You're in the meeting tonight without Christ. But you're in the meeting tonight, and you're under the sound of his voice, and he's seeking to find those who are lost tonight. You know, that portion of scripture there in the Gospel of Luke is a very important portion of the Word of God to me, for it's my testimony. There was one day I realized that I was lost and undone before God. I realized I was that one sheep that had gone out away from God. But I realized in an instant of time that he was that seeking shepherd, that he was lifting me up. And you know, if you're here in the meeting tonight, perhaps at the invitation of a family member, you're here tonight in the providence, you're here tonight in the purpose of God, that you might hear his word, that you might hear his voice, that you might be sought of him and found of him and lifted up and carried back into the fold of God. Oh, today, the Bible says, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Jehovah Rui, the Lord, my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. My children go through the catechism, or Sabbath school teachers do a very good job for them, and little Eden at the minute is learning about the faith of Abraham, who at the call of God left his country and offered up his son Isaac, but God provided a sacrifice. And I think God has provided a way for you and I to be made righteous, a way for you and I to be made holy, a way for you and I to have our sins forgiven. And that way is Christ. When we come as a sinner to him, God has provided for you tonight in Christ. God has provided for me tonight in Christ. Our brother preached the word this morning. How will it be for you when you come to the swelling of Jordan? How will it be on that day for you? Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are your sins forgiven? Have you accepted the provision that is there in Christ? Have you ever called upon him as Savior? So we read on down the psalm. In the verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. My, in this world, everything just ticks along at a fast pace.
But you know, for the true Christian, there is that place of peace, that place of serenity, that place of safety and security, the place where God can feed and nourish your soul, the place of green pasture, of still waters. My, there's times we just need to close the door and just draw aside and listen to the voice of God. I trust that God is blessing his word to your heart tonight. And there in the verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That reminds us of the title of God, Jehovah Rophaka, the Lord that healeth thee. And are we not in need of healing tonight? I wonder tonight, is there a Christian in the meeting? And you have wandered away in bypath meadows, your heart has grown cold. You know you're not living right before the Lord. Well, then would you not consider this text? Take it upon your heart. He restoreth my soul. You know, when we sin and when we fall, the devil would whisper in our ear that we're finished. How could you be a Christian and do that? Or how could you ever stand in the service of God again after you've fallen so badly? But you know, that is the voice of the devil. It is the voice of God that says he restores, he heals. We think even of the feelings in the life of Peter, how he denied the Lord. And my, how the devil could have whispered in Peter's ear, you'll never serve God again. You'll never see a soul saved. You're finished. But what did Christ say? When you're going to tell the other disciples that I'm risen, that I have rose from the grave, he says, tell Peter. Tell Peter. And if there's a Peter in the meeting tonight, God's message is to you, I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that can restore you back to fellowship. And we think of the one who wrote this psalm, the very psalmist himself, David. Did he not fall and sin so grievously? And yet did God not restore fellowship with him? I am the Lord that healeth thee. If you're lost in sin tonight, there is no sin so black that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse. Oh, tonight we seek to exalt Christ before you. We're not here to present a church. We're not here to promote free Presbyterianism or anything else. But oh, that tonight in the meeting you would see Christ as the all-sufficient Savior that he is. That you would accept him as the great shepherd of your soul. The Lord that healeth thee. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. And you know, I just want to pause here for a moment. And to our young people, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. For the friendship circle that you keep, for the partners that you will choose in life, for those that you fellowship with, for the career path that you will go down. God has a way for you to walk, and it's in the way of righteousness. And it's the way that he will lead you and he will guide you when we come to his word, when we pray to him, when we seek him in prayer. Perhaps you find yourself tonight and you know you've wandered in the paths of sin. God has not called you to be there. It is not God's will for you to remain there. It is God's will that you return, that you come back to him, that you seek out the paths of righteousness, and you follow after him. Jehovah said, can you? The Lord, our righteousness. You know, we often talk about the doctrine of the imputed righteousness of Christ, whereby we are viewed as completely righteous, as totally justified in the eyes of God, because we have the righteousness of Christ given to us. But one of the things sometimes we overlook in this is that our sin, those sins that we have committed, were placed upon Christ and dealt with once and for all those sins of the past, of the present, and of the future. We believe that salvation is of the Lord. And when God saves you from your sin, He saves you from all of your sin. Oh, tonight, if the devil is whispering in your ear that you could never be a Christian, that you couldn't hold on to it, you know he's not wrong in that. But it's not you that keeps Christ, it's Christ that keeps you. It is not me following Christ that I depend on that will see me safe into Jordan. It is Christ that lived a perfect life. It is Christ that died the sacrificial death, and praise God, Christ that rose again and is now ascended to the right hand of the Father on high, ever living to make intercession for us. We serve a risen Savior today. We serve a living and a seeking shepherd today. God shall supply all your need. Christian, if you're in the meeting and you're carrying burdens and heartaches and worries about tomorrow and cares, bring them to the feet of Christ. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." All our needs, all our cares, all our worries are met and found and answered in Christ. And when Christ supplies and gives to us, He gives to us out of an everlasting fountain of grace and mercy. It cannot be exhausted. You know, if you all decided tonight to give me £1,000, and I would greatly appreciate a gift of £1,000 from each of you, you would all be £1,000 worth off. And I would be £1,000 better off from each of you. But when God gives, His giving is not diminished by our much asking. He gives and He gives and He gives and He gives. And there is still more to be given. It never, never runs out, the grace of God. Can you be a Christian? Yes, you can. Why? Because God's grace is sufficient. Sufficient for today, sufficient for tomorrow, and sufficient for when you come to that day when you will have to cross the Jordan. Christ has gone before us in the way. My grace is sufficient for thee. I know time has gone, but just as we bring the meeting to a close, I want to give consideration. We'll move down onto the verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We are tonight dealing with matters of eternity. We are not talking about something that's here today and gone tomorrow. There is something tonight that you need to get settled in your heart and in your soul, and it needs to be settled for all eternity. Tonight, I want to ask you a question. What does the Lord mean to you? Can you claim Him as your shepherd? Can you claim Him as the one who will restore and has restored your soul? The one who will provide for your needs? Or are you still outside of the fold and flock of God? Oh, tonight, think upon this. Think upon the great shepherd of your soul. Those things that you want and desire are in Christ. The peace of heart and of mind. Just the ability to put your head on the pillow at night, to close your eyes in restful sleep and know it's well with your soul. To have that peace, you need to have Christ. Oh, tonight, that you would close in with Him. And could we say in closing also, that whom God has loved, He will love forever. Whom God has loved, He will love forever. Have you fallen tonight? Have you gone out of the way? God's love for you has not diminished. God's love for you cannot diminish, because God's love for you is laid up in Christ. Christ, our great shepherd. Christ, our great Savior and Redeemer. Oh, he has anointed our head with oil. Our cup runs over. Oh, we stand tonight before God. And I trust as we bring this meeting to a close that you, if you're not saved, would close in with God's offer of mercy. That you would hear the shepherd seeking for you tonight. That you would ask the Lord to save you from your sin. Our closing hymn.